I think we all, at holiday time, Christmas time especially, we have memories in our minds, some good. I pray that the majority of them are good memories, not bad. Don't dwell in the bad. Remember the good. And you may be saying, well, you know, nothing good happened. Well, be in today because you're here, and that is good. And God is good. And as I thought about what's happening, I'm a little bit like Bruce. It's kind of an awkward time. You've celebrated Christmas. You've celebrated the birth of our Lord and Savior. You've had family time. You're looking to start a new year. So you're kind of in this moment of time that's, so what are you going to talk about? What are you going to preach on? Well, you could preach sin. But I think even at that, you know, I think we sometimes hear enough about sin. The one thing that we never, ever get enough of is how good God truly is. And the sermon this morning, the scripture that I've chosen this morning is from the book of Romans. And if you got your Bible, please turn to the book of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And if you would, please stand, if you can, for the reading of God's Word. And I'll be reading out of the old Schofield King James Bible, so it may not be the same as yours, but the words of God are always true and the same. The meaning's there. And like I've said before, I don't care what version of the Bible you read, just read it. And God will do the heavy lifting. Romans 12, verse 1 starts out, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, bless the reading of this word. Lord, just prepare our hearts and our minds. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you all for standing. Like I said a while ago, with the new year approaching fast, and it is coming, isn't it amazing? Some of you won't remember this, but I can remember preparing to spend the evening and probably the next few days in a powerhouse because our electricity, many thought, was going to be disrupted. The year was 2000. Y2K seems like just yesterday that we were all gathered, all hands on deck. Oh, we don't know what's coming. I told you, Satan hides in the electronics. But even with that, I thought of these verses to remind us of the changes closing out of 2024 and walking into 2025. We should all strive to become closer to Jesus in our walk on this pathway that we call life. And it is very important. It is just a walk. If you think that this is all we have, you're mistaken. This is not our home. We're only visiting here. For those of us who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, because the things that are waiting for us in eternal glory, our minds can't even comprehend. That's what we should focus on. And while we are here, allow our walk to reflect our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The last few weeks, our pastors taught us from the Old Testament and brought us right into the New Testament how the Scriptures have bestowed upon us the mercies of God the Father, the love of Jesus Christ our Savior, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. How God the Father has never given up on mankind, but instead, He has opened the floodgates of love and grace and mercy for His children through His Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The epistle to the Romans was written from Corinth about, I'm going to say 57 to 58 AD, during the Apostle Paul's third visit to that city. You can prove this to yourself through 2 Corinthians 13, 1 and Acts 20, verse 2. Because it is the most complete explanation in the New Testament, I think, of the central truths, this book of Romans, in Christianity. And with that, I want to touch on something this morning. The Word of God says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That little word, therefore. We know that that word, therefore, points us to the last scripture read. In most cases, it's what just happened. Most of the time, but I think because of the seriousness and the devout consideration of the mercies of God, we need to consider all of the previous chapters of Romans up to this point. Chapter 1, chapter 11, combine it all. Because like I said before, it gives us a basis of our Christian faith, of our Christian walk. It teaches us more about this road of sin in our lives and how God gave us through Scripture the Romans roadmap to help lead us to His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. With me saying that, I want to review the waypoints of the Romans road this morning. Folks, if you've never listened closely to the waypoints in the Romans road, let these words sink and allow you to ponder them on your heart, because they will lead you to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is not only good for us to be reminded, it is also something that if you haven't highlighted these, I don't know whether you're a highlighter, I'm a highlighter, in your Bible, you should, or at least make a note what these verses are, because if you're a child of God, there's going to come a time in your life that you're going to be able to present this Romans road to a loved one in your family, maybe to the neighbor across the street, maybe to the stranger that you just met at Lowe's that is just having a really bad day. God loves us so much that He gave us this guidebook of Scripture. And in it, He gives us a way to Him. Folks, I said earlier in my prayer, there is a debt of sin that we all have, from the littlest baby to the oldest person alive. There is a debt that is laid upon us because of a long time ago in the garden. And from that time on, when mankind disobeyed God, that sin has been laid upon us. We've inherited that. And there's only one way to pay that debt. And that's through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. With that being said, let's now review some of these road signs on this wonderful road that is in Romans. Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not just some of us, not just some of them. The Word of God says all, which is all inclusive. Every man, woman, child that's ever been born has entered into this world of sin. The Bible tells us that men, mankind, man and woman, they love darkness more than they love light. That scripture right there tells us nobody escapes this. We've all fallen upon this curse. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But there's more. Romans 6:23 says this: "For the wages of sin is death." Not life. Death. The old cold graveyard dead. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." There is the payment of the death. Jesus Christ. Folks, there are many religious people out there today. There are many religions, but there's only one true God, and there's one way to get your debt paid, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Romans 5:8 says this: "But God commendeth his love towards us." Brother Bruce talked about it here just a little bit ago. That love of God. "In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The Bible says that there may be certain people in your life that you'd be willing to give up your life for. But if you're like me, there are people in this world that you would just as soon walk by. You know, there's people in this world, and God forgive me, that I have zero tolerance for. Absolutely zero tolerance. And I believe God has a special place in hell for those type of people. And those are abusers. Those are, be it physical, sexual, be whatever. I have zero tolerance for those people. But Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, people that I would have walked by or would have asked for just a couple minutes with in a closed room, he died for them too. He's given each and every one of us an opportunity to proclaim his name and to come in from the darkness into that beautiful, wonderful light that is eternal life. Think about that. Ponder that just for a moment. We've talked about how we've all sinned, how we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and how there are despicable people in this world. But yet, God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that debt truly may be paid. Now, the road doesn't end there. It continues. Romans 10:9-10 says this: "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Verse 10 goes on and says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Folks, there it is. If you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, "Lord, I am a sinner." Bible already told us we're all sinners. If you don't believe that, you're calling God a liar and you're lying to yourself. If you call upon the name of Jesus, he's there. You know, we often point to the cross. There's Jesus with his arms spread wide open. that the vilest sinner, the best person that you may know, are still lost without coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's standing there with an open invitation. Come. Call upon my name. Let me live in you. Let me pay the price that none of us can pay. He paid it with his blood. He paid it with his life. That's how much God loves us. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There it is. We're sinners in need of a Savior. There's only one who can save us. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The road sign says, call upon my name. My name is Jesus, and I will save you from your sins. Now, does this mean that you'll never stub your toe and maybe whisper a bad word? No. It means that whenever we sin, that we have an advocate sitting on the right-hand side of God the Father who pleads our case. Folks, it cannot be any clearer, and it cannot be any more truthful that Jesus Christ came into this world. Last week the pastor says in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come. Now if you sit there and think about why that moment in time. Folks, that moment in time, there was no Walmarts. There were no interstate highway systems. But God had put into place the Romans. Some of the roads that the Romans have built are still in use today. That allowed the gospel to flourish. It allowed pathways for the gospel to get out into the lost world. It allowed the gospel of Jesus Christ to leave the confines of the Jewish people and come out to us. Is that not the love of God? It doesn't get any better than that. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born in that manger, to pay a debt for us that can never be paid. Folks, I encourage you, that's just a couple waypoints in the book of Romans. But you can use this at any time in your life to tell the gospel to somebody who's lost. It's sin, it's death, it's Jesus, it's eternal life. It's that simple. Oh, I'll never be able to do it. Oh, you don't have to do it. God's already done it for us. There it is. Jot them down. Take your time when you get home. Write them down. Have it with you. Put it in your purse. Put it in your Bible. Put it in your wallet. It doesn't take very much. Carry with me all the time a little note that may help me. The older I get, I'm finding it harder and harder to recall. This is another gift of God. Pen and paper. Now, looking at the rest of this verse, we're not done. We just opened it up. Looking at the rest of this verse, this leads us to only one conclusion. We should present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Our bodies stand for all of our members and by extension, our entire lives. Everything about us should reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we were destined for a place I don't even like to talk about it. But it is truth because it's mentioned more in the New Testament, this H-E double hockey sticks, hell, than heaven. It's real. And there's only one way to be rescued from that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been said, if it is our reasonable service in this sense, if the Son of God has died for me, then the least I can do is live for him. Amen? Think about that. Ponder that in your heart. Now, if this, I'm telling you, try as I may, I cannot live a perfect life, and I will never live the perfect life as long as I am on this fallen earth. But there's coming a day that God is going to make me perfect. I don't have to worry about anything anymore. I don't even have to worry about stubbing my toe. God's going to take care of that too. Because every tear in my eye will be wiped away. He will put his loving arms around us, not for just a day, not for just an hour, not for just a minute, but for all eternity. Ponder that in your hearts. What a wonderful Father we have in heaven. What a wonderful Savior who died in our place. And what a wonderful Holy Spirit that if you call upon the name of the Lord, will dwell in you forever until the Lord calls us home. Think about that. He didn't just leave us, throw us out to the curb. He gave us the Comforter. That when you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, you're made anew. You're no longer what you were, but you're now God's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if he left us, trust me, he's been through this before. Remember the study in Exodus? How the pastor walked us through? The things that those folks must have seen and participated in takes my breath away. Can you imagine just the touch and the walls of a sea opens up? Not to where you would wade the mud, but to where you crossed on dry land. Walls of water on either side of you. What a thing that must have been to see. It didn't take them very long until they turned their backs on God. He's given us the Holy Spirit so that when we do stub our toe, we have conviction. We know the words we just said because we stubbed our toe. It's not right. That's conviction. I opened up this service talking about a dear friend of mine who just passed away. And I mean it. He was a dear friend. We fished, we hunted, we rode. Most of all, we worshiped the Lord together. And he said, how do we really know? I said, Brother Rick, have you ever done something knowing that it was wrong? You being a child of the Most High God, and you knew and you chose to do it. I said, you know that feeling you get? It's called conviction. I said, that's the Holy Spirit of God. If we didn't have that, we would go on sinning. We'd go on doing the things of the world. You would not be able to separate us from the world. We would look just like it. But God has given us his Holy Spirit to say, oh, whoa, Dennis. Now, you know that's not right. What you said to that person, you need to go back and apologize. Yeah, but no, there is no yeah, buts. God forgave you. Go ask forgiveness and forgive that person, whatever they may have done. Folks, that's a key Make your heart, your mind right. Walk with Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Test the spirits. The Word of God says, test the spirits. Folks, there are many out there today that say they are good. They are other ways. You don't have to rely upon Jesus. God says, test those spirits. How do you test those spirits? Through the Word of God. Through the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within you. If you're continuing to just go and go and go and live. Rose, you may have to get me out of this rabbit hole here in a minute. Maybe I'm the only one. But I have set, and Lord forgive me, but it's just an example. I have set with people who in church you would think are the brightest and best people that's ever walked the face of the earth. I was in business. I was a manager. Very stressful job. I would have church with some of these folks and would come to a business meeting. You couldn't tell the difference between the brother or sister that I just had on Sunday to the person sitting here on Tuesday. Forgive me, Navy people, but they sounded like my brother was a sailor. Trust me, I know. A sailor who was on leave and maybe had partaken of a few. And I'm sitting there thinking, folks, don't do that. You have to wonder, and this is above my pay grade, if that person really needs a thicker rug. Because you cannot do that if you are truly born again. If the Spirit of God lives and dwells within you, you're going to be convicted. You're going to be convicted. If you're doing wrong and you know it's wrong, even if you do something and it's wrong, but you thought it was right, the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, will convict your heart. You'll know. You'll know that you need to ask for forgiveness. That's what Jesus is about. He came to pay a debt for us and to allow us to confess our sins, to ask for forgiveness, to be a light in a dark world. It's so important. Because, folks, the world, even though through technology, it's getting darker. Now that we know that our Lord loves us and has given us a way to eternal life, we need to think about starting to live a life that is more God and less world. The second scripture verse tells us this: do not be conformed to this world. Don't act like that person that I just talked about, that would worship and sing praises unto God on Sunday and curse like an army man on leave. How about that, Navy people? Huh? Folks, you can't play that game. You can't. Because you're ignoring the Spirit of God within you. A gift that God gave us to help us and guide us through this pathway of life. And folks, it is truly just the pathway. There's going to be hills and there's going to be valleys. There's going to be twists and turns. There's going to be water in the road. There's going to be sunshiny days. This is not our home. We're just visiting. So while we go from point A to point B, God loved us enough that he paid the debt. And he loved us enough that he gave the Holy Spirit to us to guide us and direct us along this pathway of life. That's a good God. That is a great God. In In the Greek, now listen, I know a little bit of hillbilly West Virginian. I'm not a Greek scholar. But when it talks about the world, right there in that word, the Greek word for that is the age. That's now, what we're living through. Don't conform to this age. Separate yourself from it. There's no better place to separate and recharge your batteries than the gathering of the saints. It helps us. It helps us. Because we hear the true words of God. And I'm telling you, that pastor of ours, he preaches the true words of God. Not just sometimes. I have never in my entire life seen a young man like himself be so knowledgeable of the scriptures. I'll say, Pastor, time out. Oh, I love it. I told him one day, I said, we need to get us a clock. Especially when we were going through Exodus. I ate it up. There was things in there that I just didn't know. Did you realize the word ark that the little baby Moses was put into is the same word ark that saved mankind? I didn't know that. I don't know how many times I read it. And he says, yeah, but. And I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that's just, that's one little thing. I told him, I'm a green highlighter. Well, I lost my green highlighter. So I got a yellow one. I said, if you don't think that the words that you spoke have made an impact on me, I said, go to my Bible, open up Exodus, see some green, but look at the new yellow. Folks, be thankful. Pray for our pastor. Pray for his family. Pray for one another. Like I said, this word in the Greek means age. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How do you do that? Hello? It's given to us. Do not be conformed to this world. Jesus tells us in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If we take heart to what verse 12, Romans 12:1 tells us, then we have been born again. If you have that conviction in your heart, if you're doing things that you know are wrong, but you continue to do them, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If you've ever went down this Romans road and asked the Lord, Lord, forgive me, because I am the biggest sinner. I could give Paul a run for his money. Paul says, I'm the chief sinner. Ooh, I don't know that. I think we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that's the grace of God. He loves us that much that he gave us a way to be born again, to leave the old world behind and come into the new. An old pastor who married Rose and I, he used to say, you must be born again. Not born again. You must be born again, he would say. I miss that old boy. Whew. One day, I'm going to get to see him again. Scripture continues to inform us, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're coming into a new year. There's no better time than to take on today how to renew your mind. Set it out there. You're in church today. What better place to start? Pick up the Bible. Read something. There's all kinds of scripture out there. There's all kinds of help programs. There's all kinds. I know a few of you here have enjoyed the daily bread. I have for years. Every day of my life, once I started it, I have not failed to read the daily bread. It may only take 3 minutes, but it will start you down a path that will lead you to more and more scripture in your life. Folks, I'm telling you, some days I may read it and think, Lord, I know you meant this out there for somebody, but there's been days that I needed just what God gave me in that scripture. It is amazing. Now, there again, an old hillbilly from West Virginia, they're changing the format. I don't know what I'm going to do on January 1, but I'll struggle through it because I'm not going to give up. It has been such a help. You want to read the Bible in a year. It's a goal of everybody. It gives you a way. It gives you a link each day that you can read a Bible. And trust me, I've been down this path many times. You'll start out in Genesis and you'll end up in Revelation. You'll start out on January 1 and on December 31st. You'll close the book on Revelation, having completely read the Word of God. There's all kinds of things out there to help you renew your mind, to get you back on track. Isn't God wonderful? I can't even explain how he makes me feel. He makes me feel grateful. He makes me feel loved. He makes me feel blessed that he loved me, an old sinner, enough that he gave his only begotten son. You might be asking yourself, how do I know my mind is right to ponder the things of God? I love our pastor. He says, I'm glad you asked that question. How am I worthy to ponder the things of God? Jesus promised the Holy Spirit in John 14. He gives us directions to follow. John 14, starting with verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But if you've been born again, you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Amen? That's a promise of God. That's not me standing here telling you, well, this, you believe it if you want. It's the true words of God. Call upon the name of Jesus, you shall be saved. And it's very important that you call upon the name of Jesus to start your life. To ask. You may be born again, but maybe you're just not convinced where you are in your walk. It's a perfect time to say, Lord, take the wheel. You ever see these license plates that says, God co-pilot? Whew, scares me to death. I don't want God to be the co-pilot. I want him to be on the wheel. I want him to take full control of my life. Because, trust me, if man can mess it up, we will. Yeah, I see those signs. God's my co-pilot. I'm not thinking, whoo, not me. I want him to be in the driver's seat. I'm going to finish up with these verses as this verse continues. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now remember, conviction plays a big part in the heart of the life of a believer. This is where prayer and reading your Bible come into play. 1 John 4, 1 says this, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. I have them in my family. I have them in my walk. And I'm sure you do too. I had them in places of business. You see it all the time on TV. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Turn on a TV program. If the man is not of God, and he's telling you things to do, and you're not feeling the Spirit of God, Turn the channel. Turn it off. Pick up your Bible. Begin to read. Test the spirits. I've known people to preach a sermon that never open up the Word of God. How that you can do that, I don't know. But it happens. If you don't continue to renew your mind and understand what is of God, don't think for a moment that Satan cannot deceive you. We are told in Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That is why, folks, if you've never read Ephesians 6, starting, I think, verse 17, mark that down. Read about the full armor of God. Everything that the devil can throw at you, God's already give you protection to ward him off. That's how good God is. This is why we are told by the writer of Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Do you feel like the day that the Lord is going to call the church home is approaching? I do. I don't know that day. I don't know when it is. But I've said before, we're one day closer than what we were yesterday. Folks, don't give up on each other. Don't do it. Come alongside. You never know what kind of stone the person may have in his shoe that day, or what the sister may have under her toe. You don't know. That's hurting. But you may have had that same stone. You may have had that same hurt. Come to church. Bruce said it too. The hugs, the handshakes, the hellos, the I love yous. It means a lot. We have many ways here at this congregation, this body of Christ, to help with your worship. You can do it through choir, by coming to church on Sunday mornings, coming to church on Sunday evenings. You could have women's Bible fellowship study. You can have men's Bible fellowship breakfast. Matter of fact, it's coming up. 8:30 on the second Saturday here at church. Folks, I can't even begin to tell you how much the prayer time here at noon has meant to me and my family. I can't tell you. We're told in the Bible that in John that many books would be filled up by the goodness of the Lord and what he's done. I can already start a novel back there of seeing how God's answered prayer, not only in my life, but in lives of those who come and attend. There's also at Thursday at 6:30 at Todd and Shelley's home, there's a prayer time. You may not be able to do the noontime prayer. They've opened their home for the same type of prayer. Talk to Miss Shelley. She'll give you the address, I'm sure. Folks, don't give up on each other. It's too important now. As the world is closing in around us, we've got a little reprieve, I think. But I've read the book. I know how it ends. It's coming. It's coming. And also, I just want to say this one more time. If you're not attending, now tonight we don't have evening service, but we will begin to have it through these, get through the holidays. At 6:00, the pastor takes a book of the Bible and covers it from the beginning to the end. Folks, you're missing a wonderful Bible study. You're missing a wonderful time of fellowship. Again, don't give up on one another. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this congregation. Lord, we thank you for what you've given us, eternal life. Father, for those here that may have never called upon your name, I pray that today be the day of salvation. Lord, if they have called upon your name, but they just feel like they're missing something, that they're not all in, that today would be the day that they call upon your name, asking for forgiveness and guidance. Father, I know that you are true and just and will continue in each one of our lives. Father, again, hear our prayers from this morning. Lord, be with those who need just a touch of the Master's hand. And thank you again, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.